Hello, everybody. I'm super excited to welcome you to the Mighty Warriors Podcast, a podcast dedicated to inspire and encourage you to experience a deeper intimacy with God and to be transformed by His Word in your everyday life. I'm your favorite host, Colette Correa, and I'm glad to bring you episode 10, where I will be talking about how valuable your life is and how we need to fight for every human life. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Mighty Warriors Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. As usual, it's a delight to speak to you. I hope you're having a good day. And if you're not, I hope this episode can bring you a ray of sunshine. Although, I must confess, today's discussion is a little serious. Of course, all the episodes are serious. But this episode is serious, serious. And so I hope you can put on your serious hat. And I would recommend that if you usually listen to the Mighty Warriors podcast with your children or teenagers around, that you consider listening to it first to see if your child or teenager is mature enough to listen to this episode. In our previous episode, we looked at how we are created in the image of God. And it was beautiful. It was so beautiful to see the creative hand of God at work. Our foundational passages were in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 28, Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, as well as Genesis chapter 2, verses 20 through 25. God created mankind in His own image and likeness. He created Adam from the dust of the ground and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being. Then he created Eve out of one of Adam's ribs, and he blessed them. God blessed them, commanded them to be fruitful, multiply, and rule. God did not tell them to pick up dust and then create man. No. He gave them the proper genitalia so that when Adam would have an intimate relationship with his wife Eve, they would become fruitful and multiply. It is a blessing to be fruitful and multiply. That's why God said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, "That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." This is where God institute marriage between a man and a woman becoming one flesh that is blessed and recognized by God. Everything God created was good and created for a purpose. I was compelled to have a following episode in which we would discuss the marvelous work of God through mankind because I marvel at the fact that God blessed Adam and Eve and commanded them to multiply and be fruitful. And here, as I just read from this passage from Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, God institute marriage, and He expects them to become one flesh, and multiplying and being fruitful means bringing life into this world. And so, as I was thinking of God's love towards us and mankind, I started to think about people from different nations, different ethnicities, different tribes, different languages. And then I started to think about the Olympics. Do you remember the 2016 Summer Olympics? Surely you watched the opening. The event took place in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, and it was broadcasted all around the world. Of course, as usual. And it is actually estimated that the global audience was about 3 billion watching the ceremony. In my family, we never missed the opening ceremony. We always watched the Olympics. It was a family affair. We loved to hear the announcer announce the countries and then see the athletes from those nations enter the stadium. Just such a beautiful sight. My parents always looked forward to seeing the African countries. They always hoped that Senegal, Guinea-Bissau, and Togo would be present because this is where we're from. And sometimes my parents would look closely, thinking that they might recognize people. You know, some people they might have known. Anyways, that was kind of laughable now. But those are the sweet moments when we would watch the Olympics, and they took so much pride in seeing their countrymen enter the stadium. The spectacular opening and closing of the 2016 Summer Olympics was actually held in Maracanã Stadium, a stadium that can actually accommodate 78,838 people. There were 207 nations represented at that Olympic, and more than 11,000 athletes took part in the games, competing in 41 different disciplines. With everything that you might remember from that opening, I'd like for you to focus on the crowd that was present that day. The crowd in that stadium that day was 60,000 people. Now, let's imagine 200 countries have 5 stadiums. Every country in the world have 5 stadiums, and each of those stadiums have 60,000 people. So you see that crowd that you saw on TV that looked so beautiful, that looked so crowded? 60,000 people. Now, let's imagine that each of those countries have 5 stadiums, and each of those stadiums have 60,000 people. Do you know how many people that would be total? It would be 60 million. Because 5 times 200 equal 1,000. 1,000 times 60,000 equal 60 million. That's a lot of people. This number is the number of abortions that have been performed in America for the past 48 years, since 1973. 60 million babies. And those were considered legal abortions. Had they not been aborted, they would have been adults contributing to our society today. Doctors, lawyers, teachers, nurses, mothers, fathers, engineers, pastors, evangelists, astronauts, cooks, etc., etc. I believe in the sanctity of life, and I want to share my voice on this podcast, not to condemn those who have gone through an abortion, but to educate those who did go through one and might not have been given proper information concerning the life that was growing in their womb, as well as those who might be considering going through one. It is my hope and prayer you will listen to this podcast. I want my voice to echo in the chambers of your heart before you make a life-changing decision, as the purpose of this episode is to help you understand the value of life and show you through Scripture that life begins at conception and that God has great plans and purposes for that baby, that child who is growing in your womb. I want you listeners to know that I have prayed and asked God to help me deliver this episode in a spirit of love, compassion, and empathy. I would like to educate you and help you understand how valuable life is. So please receive this message as you accompany me in the next 30 to 40 minutes as we talk about the sanctity of life. I pray your heart is open to receive my message as I come to you in a spirit of love, compassion, and empathy. Is abortion mentioned in the Bible? The word abortion is not found in the Bible. However, in the Old Covenant Scriptures, in Exodus chapter 21, verse 22 through 25, we are given some direction as to what should happen in the event a pregnant woman and her baby are harmed. And here is what it says. If people are fighting and hit a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely, but there is no serious injury, the offender must be fined whatever the woman's husband demands and the court allows. But if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. What it implies is that in the event that the pregnant woman gives birth prematurely, before the time, the offender has to be fined. whatever the husband demands or whatever the court allows. But in the event that the mother or the child dies, which we read in verse 23, and that there is serious injury, therefore, the same should be done to the offender. Through this passage, we understand that harming the child, which would lead to his death, is considered a criminal act, and that the unborn is as valuable as a human being. Does life really begin at conception? Yes. In the Bible, there are also passages of scriptures that speak of life beginning at conception and also emphasizes that God has a plan and purpose already established for those unborn children. And so I'd like for us to look at a couple passages where that is highlighted. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 5 through 25, the angel Gabriel visits priests Zechariah, and he announces to him that his prayer has been heard and that his wife Elizabeth will bear a child. What is really significant here is that not only does he make an announcement about the conception, but the angel also announces the plans and purposes that God has for that child. He mentions, number one, Elizabeth will bear a son. Number two, he is to be called John. And John in Hebrew would have been Yohanan, which actually means God is gracious. Number three, he will be a joy and delight to you, meaning to Zechariah and his wife, and many will rejoice because of his birth. Number four, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Number five, he is never to take wine or other fermented drinks. The angel Gabriel even explains how God wants this child to be raised. Number five, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born, meaning while he is a child, while he is in the womb, he is filled with the Holy Spirit. How beautiful, the Spirit of God is moving this child in his mother's womb. Number six, he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. Number seven, he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedience to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is what has been predestined for John. All of those things are good things. Those are great and beautiful plans from the Lord so that this child can fulfill his destiny. So even before this child is born, God has already purposed for this child to be great, to be a blessing, and to do great and mighty things before the Lord. This is how God planned your very life. You are not here by mistake, and before you were even in your mother's womb, God already had plans for you, great and mighty plans for you to do great things for his kingdom. Now, let's look at another event that took place. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38, the angel Gabriel visits the Virgin Mary 6 months later and makes another similar announcement. He announces to her that she will conceive a child. And before this child is even born, God has a plan and purpose already established. He announces that number one, Mary will conceive. Number two, he is to be called Jesus. In the original language, which would be Hebrew and Aramaic, his name would be Yeshua, which means salvation. Number three, he will be great. Number four, he will be called Son of the Most High. Number five, the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, meaning King David. And by father, the angel means ancestor. King David was Jesus' ancestor through his mother Mary and through his adopted father Joseph. Number 6, he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. Number 7, his kingdom will never end. Number 8, Gabriel mentions that he is holy. He mentions the Holy One to be born. And number 9, he is the Son of God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 36, the angel Gabriel announces to Mary that her relative Elizabeth, who is actually unable to conceive, is with child and in her 6 months. And when Mary goes and visits her, it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 41, that the baby is actually full of life and that when Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaps. And so that is, to me, amazing. This is not a clump of cells. This is a baby. A baby. What else can we say about the plans and purposes of God? God designed sex to be a beautiful, consecrated gift to be enjoyed within the boundaries of marriage between a man and a woman. This is what God established as a foundation. The union between a man and a woman results in the procreation of another human. And when that union results in conception, the scripture reveals to us that a miracle takes place. I call it a miracle because God knits us together in our mother's womb. This is what we are told in Psalms chapter 139. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depth of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And this comes from Psalms chapter 139, verses 13 through 16. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, there is another beautiful passage of scripture that talks of the wonderful plans of God, which he sets even before we are born. God speaks to prophet Jeremiah and tells him, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." And finally, here is another passage of scripture concerning the beautiful work of God's hand in our life, and it comes out of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 5. "Just as you do not know the path of the wind and how bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things." What are the stages of development of the baby in the womb? I personally find the stages of the baby's development fascinating. I'm not married and I do not have any kids yet. I like to say yet because I don't know what God's will is, but I'm open to both. So whenever I hear that someone is pregnant, a friend or relative expecting, I rejoice and I'm very excited because life is developing in that womb. I know mothers already know this, but for single women and men or even teenagers and children who are listening and who would like to know, here's the beautiful stages of the baby's development in the womb. Let's start with the first trimester, the first month. From the conception to the fourth week, the moment the egg is fertilized, meaning the sperm reaches the egg, a watertight sac is formed, and that watertight sac is called amniotic sac. The spinal cord, the nervous system, the gastrointestinal system, the heart and the lungs develop. The arm buds appear. The mouth, lower jaw, and throat are developing. Blood cells are taking shape and circulation begins. At that stage, the baby is about 1/4 inch long. The second month, weeks 5 through 8. The baby's face, nose, ears are starting to take shape. The brain is forming. The eyelids and the ears are forming as well. The fingers, the toes, and the eyes are developing. At 6 weeks, the baby's heartbeat can be detected through an ultrasound. The arms and the legs are moving. And at this stage, the baby is about 1 inch long. The third month, weeks 9 through 12, the baby fills the entire uterus. The baby's arms, legs, fingers, and toes are fully formed and can move. Fingernails and toes are forming. Teeth are formed under the gum. Fingerprints are present. The reproductive organs are developing. The urinary system is working. And the baby is about 3 inch long and weighs about 1 ounce. Let's go to the second trimester, the fourth month, weeks 13 through 16. The sex can be identified. Skin is thin, transparent. The baby can blink. The heart and the blood vessels are fully formed. The heartbeat is strong. Downy hair covers the body. There is coordinated movement, and the baby is able to roll over in the amniotic sac. At this stage, the baby is about 6 inches long and weighs about 4 to 7 ounces. The fifth month, week 17 through 20. The heartbeat can be heard through the stethoscope. The baby sucks a thumb, has hiccups, yawns, stretches, and make faces. Hair begins to grow on the baby's head. Eyelashes, eyebrows are present. At this stage, you should be able to clearly see if it's a boy or girl. The baby is about 12 inches long and weighs about 1 pound. Month 6, weeks 21 through 24. The skin is wrinkled and covered with protective coating called vernix caseosa. The eyelid began to part and the eyes are open. The baby responds to sound. The baby is about 14 inches long and weighs about 1 pound to 1.5 pounds. Let's go to the third trimester. Month 7, weeks 25 through 28. The baby is continuing to grow, inhaling and exhaling amniotic fluid. Although this is the month where that fluid is diminishing, the hearing is fully developed. He or she is developing reserved body fat. The baby is very active and is about 16 inches long and weighs about 2 to 4 pounds. Month 8, weeks 29 through 32. The baby responds to sound, has periods of sleep and wakefulness. Bones of the head are soft and flexible. Iron is being stored in the liver. There is vigorous movement that occurs, and the baby is about 16 and a half to 18 inches long and weighs about 4 to 5 pounds. Month 9, weeks 33 through 36. The baby is gaining immunity from the mother. Lungs are nearly developed. The baby's reflexes are coordinated. He or she can blink, close the eyes, turn the head, grasp firmly, and respond to sound, light, and touch. The head is fully positioned down into the pelvis, and the baby is about 17 to 19 inches long and weighs about 5.5 to 6.5 pounds. Month 10, weeks 37 through 40. The baby is about 18 to 20 inches long and weighs about 7 pounds. And the baby's ready to meet us. Yeah, that's so exciting. This is so beautiful. In general, if the babies are born between 37 to 39 weeks, they are considered early. If they are born between 39 and 40 weeks, they are considered at term. And if they are born at 41 to 42 weeks, they are considered late. Either early, at term, or late, I'm just saying, wow. The baby is here. That's the most important. This is exciting. I mean, listen to me. Listen. If you did not believe in God before, you should believe in God now. The development of the baby in the womb is to me a miracle. It's such a beautiful thing. I mean, I'm just so amazed that the details, how the eyes and the spinal cord and the nervous system, you know, develop in the first month and the second month, you know, the face, the nose, the ears are starting to take shape. And you get to the third month and the fingernails and the toes are forming and the arms and the legs and so on and so forth. And Indeed, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God's hand is at work in a mother's womb. Again, if you did not believe in God before, you should believe in God now. This is the evidence of God's mighty work, beautiful work, that a sperm would meet an egg, and at the end of 9 months, there is a human being. This is a miracle. This is beautiful, and I'm close to tears. And nobody should take that life away. Nobody. Is abortion considered murder? And the answer is yes. Did you see how beautiful the development of the baby in the womb is? Life begins at conception. When the father's sperm and the mother's egg come together, it creates a baby which develops for a period of 40 weeks. I don't even have to give you scriptural references to prove that. Your conscience knows that it's morally wrong to abort a baby, to abort a child. The shortening of the baby's development in the womb at any stage is murder. A mother who chooses to abort is choosing to end a human life, a life that God had planned and purposed to be a unique life. But Colette, what about the common objections, such as rape and incest, or the mother's life being in danger? My answer to those objections is that abortion is seldom about those objections. Women who choose to have an abortion choose to have an abortion, number one, because it is inconvenient to them to have a child at this stage in their lives. Or number two, they are no longer in a relationship with the father of the child. Or number three, they are forced by their partner, the partner of the child, to abort the child. That partner could be a boyfriend or a husband or maybe a lover. That person slept with somebody who's already married and that husband feels pressure and doesn't want his spouse to know. So he's pressuring the mother to abort the child. Or number four, they are forced by their parents who think that they are too young to have a child or that they simply themselves don't have any time to raise a grandchild. Or maybe they are ashamed that that teenager is expecting and so it needs to be terminated. And so terminating the baby seems to be the solution to them. If a person is considering abortion because this child is a result of a rape or incest, I want to express compassion and empathy towards the mother because this is a horrific thing to go through. I cannot even fathom my own father or my own brother doing this to me or a stranger raping me. This is horrific. I know that my words fall short of even fully bringing the comfort and counsel that a mother would need to heal as she faces being pregnant at the same time. So I want to acknowledge that rape and incest are heinous crimes, and the perpetrator has to be punished to the full extent of the law. I would, however, want to plead with the mother to consider putting the child for adoption rather than aborting him or her. There are families who are unable to conceive and who would be open to receive a baby into their lives. Please, I plead with you to put up this baby for adoption. It is not this baby's fault. Please, I plead with you. God has great plans and purposes for that baby. I plead with you to put up that child for adoption. You might ask, well, what are my options? What are the alternatives? What should I do? Number one, go to a pregnancy center or a pregnancy clinic. Usually, pregnancy centers or pregnancy clinics are very different than abortion clinics. In the US, there is a place called Planned Parenthood. Do not go to Planned Parenthood. It's an abortion clinic. Please. Do not go to Planned Parenthood. At the pregnancy center, you can get a free ultrasound. You can speak to a counselor, and they can see how they can help you even after the baby is born. Many mothers are worried at times as to if they will have enough money to purchase clothes for the child or get diapers. And sometimes those pregnancy centers help you with those things. And they can even find sponsors who can help you for a few months as you get yourself back on your feet. However, abortion clinics are very quick to schedule you to get an abortion or to give you a pill so that you can kill the child in your womb. By taking that pill and passing the child and flushing him in the toilet, do not do that. Please, I plead with you. Go to a pregnancy center. Number two, your option might be that you can single parent. You can become a single parent. That's an option that you could consider. Number three, you could become a co-parent with the child's father. Number four, you could ask a family member to become a guardian of the child for a period of time while you get grounded to take care of the two of you. Number five, you can place your child with a temporary guardian. And there are ways for you to do that legally. And when you get to a pregnancy center, they can guide you and direct you as to how to do that. And number six, you could place the child for adoption. And those are wonderful options rather than terminating his or her life. If you are a mother, choose life for your baby. If you are a father, choose life for your baby. The baby is a fearfully and wonderfully made human being. Think of this. If your mother would have aborted you, you wouldn't be here today. Will God ever forgive me? I know that some of you might wonder, can God forgive a woman who has had an abortion or several of them? Or you might wonder, can God forgive the father of the baby who pressured his girlfriend or wife, or a parent who pressured his teenager to have an abortion? And the answer is yes, God forgives. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." God is a compassionate and loving God. When you come to a place where you repent, you are basically saying to God, "I'm sorry for what happened. I realize now that it was wrong and I will never do it again." You're basically turning away. You're making a U-turn to never go that path again. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Repent today and make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life. And God will give you the Holy Spirit, which is a spirit who dwells and lives within you all the days of your life to guide you through life. And so in the future, if you are faced in making hard decisions, the Spirit of God will convict you in making the right decision, the decision that will be honoring and pleasing and righteous in the eyes of God. So today, let God change your life. Now, let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Giver of life, I come to you with a deep ache in my heart for all the babies that are aborted on a daily basis, not only just in the U.S., but around the world. Those 60 million lives terminated just in the U.S. were considered legal abortions. I cannot even fathom the illegal abortions that have taken place these past 50 years. I come to you to lay my burden and my ache at your feet. And I want to pray for those who aborted in the past. I pray you open their eyes to the gravity of what they've done, not so they will feel guilty and condemned, but so that they would never do it again. Oh God, my prayer is that they would come to the saving knowledge of who Jesus Christ is so they may receive your free gift of forgiveness, the gift that you extend to all who repent of their sins. You tell us in your word that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I pray they hold on to that promise from your word. Lord, I pray you comfort their heart as they mourn the baby boy or baby girl they now wish they could hold. Fill their hearts with peace that they will see their baby again. For the young and older mothers who are considering abortions right now, merciful Father, I pray that you intervene, convict this young lady, this woman's soul, with what I shared today. Bring people in her path who will clearly educate her on the importance of the life that is growing in her womb. If she is considering abortion because she cannot afford raising this child, I pray she looks at other options such as open adoption or closed adoption or putting their child in the hands of their relatives or a guardian who can take care of the child. Shake heaven and earth, I pray, for this mother to change her mind. For the young man or older man who is pressuring his girlfriend or wife to have an abortion, I pray for you to soften his heart to accept this new reality that as a father, he is responsible to take responsibility for his action, and saving the life of this unborn baby is his priority. I pray that he will use his words to comfort the mother and to encourage her to look at different options rather than terminating the baby. Help him find creative ways to save money so he may provide. For the parents who are pressuring their teenagers to get an abortion, I pray you convict them of the time when they gave birth to their daughter and the joy they experienced that birth. Speak to the moral fabric of their soul and convict them that what they are forcing their daughter to do is a heinous abomination in your eyes. I know, Lord, that you hear all prayers, and therefore I thank you that even now you're dispatching your warring angels to fight the spirit of deception, the spirit of callousness, and the spirit of death in the name of Jesus. Amen. Dear friends, the topic of abortion is never easy to talk about, especially when you know that some of the people who might be listening might have gone through an abortion or gone through many of them, or that somebody might have pressured a mother to have one. Please know that my intent was not to cause you any pain, but to help you see how valuable your life is and how valuable your baby's life is in the eyes of God. Please join us again next week. Goodbye now.